وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've reached in this Friday night series of talks of العشرة المبشرون, the ten given the glad tidings of paradise to the illustrious companion سعد ابن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه ورضاه. Imam al-Zahri رحمه الله, he says that his name is سعد ابن أبي وقاص. His name is Malik ibn Uhayb ibn Abd Manaf ibn Zuhra ibn Kilab ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay. Al-Amir Abu Ishaq Al-Qurashi Al-Zuhri Al-Makki wa ahadu al-sabiqin al-awwalin. He says that he is Abu Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Malik, the son of Uhayb, the son of Abd Manaf, the son of Zuhra, the son of Kilab, the son of Murra, the son of Ka'b, the son of Lu'ay. His kunya is Abu Ishaq. Abu Ishaq. Al-Qurashi, he was from the Quraysh, Al-Zuhri, Banu Zuhra, and Makki from Mecca. He was one of the first of those to accept Islam in the early days. وَأَحَدُ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا بَدْرًا بِالْحُدَيْبِيَّةِ وَالْحُدَيْبِيَّةِ وَأَحَدُ سِتَّةِ أَهْلِ الشُّورَى وَأَحَدُ سِتَّةِ أَهْلِ الشُّورَى. And he was one of the people who witnessed Badr, meaning he was present at Badr, and al-Hudaybiyyah, and he was one of the six members of the Shura that we mentioned last week with Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, and before that with Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, he doesn't bring a description of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, unfortunately. But what I've seen in the other books of Sir, a biography, is that he was a short man and he had curly hair and he was darker in complexion. This is what I found from other narrations or other books of history and biography. There are a lot of things that I mentioned about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas or radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And of course, these talks are just a glimpse at the lives of these ten personalities, رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. So we're going to read from Sahih Muslim, inshallah. Inshallah, to get a glimpse of the life of this noble companion from the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imam Muslim, رحمه الله, and this is a narration that we presented in the talk last year, called Security in Islam. Security in Islam, for those who were here and remember. Imam Muslim, he said, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ مَسْلَمَ ابْنُ قَعْنَبَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سُلَيْمَانُ ابْنُ بِلَالٍ عَنْ يَحْيَى بْنِ سَعِيدٍ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَامِرِ بْنِ رَبِيعَةَ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أرقى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة فقال ليس رجلا صالحا من أصحابي يحرسني الليلة. قالت وسمعنا صوت السلاح فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من هذا؟ قال سعد بن أبي وقاص. يا رسول الله جئت أحرسك. قالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها ورضاها فنام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى سمعت غطيطه. And when we first heard this narration at that lecture, myself and I think it was Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi and our brother Shadid and others who presented, Shakir I believe was also there, and Malik Wallahu ta'ala alam, Yarhamakumullah. this hadith has a lot of benefits in it, and it also was kind of humorous. The narration is the first hadith in Sahih Muslim under the merit of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which says, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa radaha reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lay on the bed one night, during one night. And actually the narration, it says, Ariqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhata layla. And Ariqa is a word that means a person can't, there's something that's preventing them from going to sleep. It's not insomnia, but it's like similar to insomnia. There's something that is on their minds that makes them not be able to get the rest that they want that particular night. Ariqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it says that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lay on the bed during one night and said, were there a pious person, or how I wish that there was a righteous person from amongst my companions who could keep a watch for me during the night. And remember, we mentioned this during the security in Islam talks, because of the importance of security in Islam, securing Islam, securing the people of Islam, securing the Quran, the Masahid themselves physically, and many other things that need to be secured in Islam. So how much more the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْتَ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا مِنَ أَصْحَابِ يَحْرُسُنِي لَيْلًا. Oh, how I wish that there was a righteous person from amongst my companions. And one of the benefits from this narration, it is the proof against the Shia. One of the benefits is the proof against the Shia. Because as we learned in the class on Monday night, that the Shia, and also on Friday night, we discussed it briefly, that the Shia, the Rafidah, they don't believe that the companions of the Messenger of Allah were Muslims. Rather, they believe that they were all apostates except for six. Except for six, and there were more than 100,000 companions at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hadith is a proof about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he said, oh, how I wish there was a pious person from amongst my companions who would keep watch for me during the night, that would guard me during the night. And Imam An-Nawawi, he says about the statement, لَيْتَ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا يَحْرُسُنِي. Oh, how I wish that there was a righteous person to guard me. Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he says, فِيهِ جَوَازُ مِنْ إِحْتِرَاضٍ مِنْ الْعَدُوِ. He says, in this, meaning, he says, fihi means the benefit. One of the benefits that we get from this narration is al-ihtiras min al-adu, to seek security or guard from the enemy. That is permissible. That is permissible to seek some type of security from the enemy. In fact, a brother asked me today about the people who stand on security, about them, what do they do after Jum'ah, on the day of Jum'ah. And I told him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that they should not be standing like that, they should be praying. They should be praying with everyone else. He said, well, who's going to guard? I said, Allahu a'lam, but they should be praying. They should not be missing Jum'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that we heard the noise or the sound. وَسَمِعْنَا سَوْتَ السِّلَاحِ وَسَمِعْنَا سَوْتَ السِّلَاحِ. So we heard the noise of weapons. And the word silah, even though it's the singular word, here it means plural. The word silah, even though it's singular, it means أَسْلِحَ, means the sound of weapons, meaning the sword and the shield, the clanging together of the metal. We heard the sound right after the Prophet said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man hadha, who is this? And we like to say that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked, who is this? He asked, who is this on behalf of, or for the benefit of his wife? Because he already knew who it was. Through revelation, as some other narrations that are found in other books of hadith, prove that he knew who it was, because Allah revealed it to him, which is another proof of what the ulama said, that revelation is of two types. There's the first revelation, a wahi, that is matluq, and the second type of revelation, which is al-wahi ghayru matluq. There's the first that is recited, which is the book of Allah. And there's the second that is unrecited, which is the sunnah, or the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and before him, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other sahaba, they said, and tabi'un who came after them, following suit, they said that when the Qur'an was coming down, the sunnah was coming down with it. That when the Qur'an was coming down, the sunnah was coming down with it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من هذا قال سعد بن أبي وقاص يا رسول الله جئت أحرسك فقالت وقالت عائشة فنام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى سمعت غطيطة. So Sa'd said, it is I, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. It's Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have come to stand guard over you. I have come to be a sentinel over you. I have come to be security for you. And by the way, this was some of the last times this happened. After that, the Prophet ﷺ didn't have people guard him. In fact, there's another narration that says that the companion that we talked about last Friday, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the one tonight, was walking in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and he asked, what are you doing? They said, we're guarding you. He said, get behind me, because the angels guard me. So he didn't need it anymore after that. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, oh Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've come to serve as your sentinel. I've come to guard you. To guard you. Ahrusuka. So Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, فَنَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep, حَتَّى سَمِعْتُ غَطِيطَ, until we heard the غَطِيطَ. The غَطِيطَ. We have maybe one Arab here and two fake Arabs. We have an interpreter back there. He's an Arabic interpreter. And we have another brother here, Abdullah. He's a fake Arab. Arab. And he gave us a thumbs up. They both speak Arabic, alhamdulillah. What's Ghatifa? That's one fake Arab he declined. How about the other fake Arab? And the real Arab over here. That should make the other two fake Arabs feel good that the real Arab is in. Ghatifa is snoring. That's the sound that comes from, as Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he says, وَهُوَ صَوْتُ النَّائِمْ الْمُرْتَفِعِ. That's the sound. So this is when we mentioned this back then at the lecture was insecurity in Islam, so we're going to mention it again for those who may not remember, who have forgotten. We tell the sisters, now every time your husband snores, he's following the sunnah. So don't blame him. Don't blame your husband for snoring. Sometimes you elbow us, or you hit it like you're doing it by mistake, so we can, you know, come out of the snore. If you're following the sunnah, if the brother wakes up, your husband wakes up, just tell the wise brother, I'm following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and go back to sleep and snore. Also, there's a narration collected by Imam Muslim, the next narration, that says, قال حدثنا منصور بن أبي مزاح ومزاحم قال حدثنا إبراهيم يعني ابن سعد عن أبيه عن عبد الله بن شداد قال سمعت عليا يقول أكلي ما جمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبويه لأحد غير سعد بن مالك فإنه جعل يقول له يوم أحد إرمي فداك أبي وأمي. This narration is on the authority of Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. where he says, رضي الله تعالى عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم never combined his parents for anyone. Combined his parents for anyone, meaning that he said, may my parents be ransomed for you. He never combined both of them for anyone other than Sa'd ibn Malik, who Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, رضي الله تعالى عنه. He says, never did that for anyone. May my father and mother, may my father and mother be ransomed for you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irmi, irmi. He said, shoot, shoot, meaning shoot, Sa'd, meaning send out your arrow. Because Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was known for being an expert marksman, and he was also known before that for having a very, very keen eyesight. Very keen eyesight and being an expert marksman, and he was the first one, to the best of my knowledge, to shoot an arrow in the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He was the first one to shoot an arrow. Also, there's a narration here from Imam Muslim again. This narration from Imam Muslim on the authority of Mus'ab ibn Sa'd رضي الله تعالى عنه عن أبيه أنه نزلت فيه آيات من القرآن قال حلفت أم سعد أن لا تكلمه أبدا حتى يكفر بدينه ولا تأكل ولا تشرب قالت زعمت أن الله وصاك بوالديك وأنا أمك وأنا آمرك بهذا قال مكثت ثلاثا حتى غشي عليها من الجهد فقام ابن لها يقال له عمارة فسقاها فجعلت تدعو على سعد فأنزل الله عز وجل في القرآن هذه الآية ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا. This narration, Mus'ab ibn Sa'd رضي الله تعالى عنه, reported on the authority of his father, who was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas رضي الله تعالى عنه, that many verses of the Quran have been revealed in connection to his father. His mother, Umm Sa'd, had taken an oath that she would never talk with him until he abandoned his faith. That she took a vow. حلفت Umm Sa'd. Umm Sa'd took an oath. She swore not to ever speak to him ever until he apostated, until he left Islam. And she also vowed not to eat, and she also vowed not to drink. So we see that hunger strikes are not new. Hunger strikes are not new. Saddam Hussein just tried it. Failed. Came to his senses. So the narration goes on and says, he said that she vowed to never talk until he abandoned his faith, and not to eat nor drink. And then she said to him, listen to what she said, Allah has commanded you to treat well your parents, and I am your mother, and I command you to do this. Meaning I command you to leave Islam. I stop here because I'm sure that there's some people here who feel this. I'm sure that there's some people here who feel this on one level or another. I'm sure there has to be someone here whose parents, both of them or one of them, usually the mother, has said something similar to this or done something like in a threatening manner. If you don't leave Islam, you don't take that rag off your head, girl. If you don't take that rag off your head, girl, and put on a dress, take off that ninja stuff you got on your face, or if you don't shave your beard, or if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't stop praying. And I know somebody right now that's very, very close to me. The entire family, the mother at the top of the list, was preventing her from praying when she accepted Islam. And the room in the house was very, very tight, to the point, and I'll try to give you the distance that she used to have to walk. She used to have to walk to another person's house to make her five prayers. At times, she used to have to walk the distance from this masjid to like maybe Marquez El Bayan, just because she wanted to pray, because her mother wouldn't allow her to pray in the house. And this is the clincher. Her mother was claiming Islam at that time. Her mother was claiming that she herself was a Muslim. When the time of Salat came, she used to turn up the music so that this woman could not pray in peace. And she used to beg, just give me 15 minutes. So we know how it is when people don't want you to practice Islam in your families, and they'll do all kinds of things to keep you from doing that. So she said that, "I am your mother and I command you to do this. I command you to do this." The narration that goes on, it says, she passed 3 days in this state until she fainted because of extreme hunger. And at that time, her son, whose name was Umar, stood up and served her drink, and she began to curse, make dua against Sa'd, that Allah the Exalted and Glorious, that Allah the Exalted and Glorious would curse Sa'd, that would, in other words, give him punishment, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses, "And we have enjoined upon a person goodness to his parents, but if they contend with you to associate others with me, of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them." Then do not obey them. And also the ayah, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِيَ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. But if they both strive with you to make you join in worship with me, others than of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them, but behave with them in the world kindly, and follow the path of him who turns to me in repentance and in obedience. Then to me will be your return, and I shall tell you what you should do. قال وأصاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is another narration. غنيمة عظيمة فإذا فيها سيف فأخذته فأتيت به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت نفلني هذا السيف فأنا من قد علمت حاله فقال رده من حيث أخذته فانطلقت حتى إذا أردت أن ألقيه في الفض لا مسنى. This is a typographical error here. It should say, لا مثني نفسي فرجعت إليه فقلت أعتني قال فشد لي صوته رده من حيث أخذته قال فأنزل الله عز وجل يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول الآية. The rest of this narration, or the second part of this narration, is served that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said that there fell to the lot of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam huge spoils of war, and there was one sword in them. I picked that up and came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Bestow the sword upon me as my share in the spoils of war, and you know my fate." Thereupon he said, "Return it to the place from where you picked it up." I went back until I decided to throw it in a safe. But my soul repulsed me. So I came back and asked him to give that sword to me. He said in a loud voice to return it to the place from where I picked it up. It was on this occasion that this verse was revealed. They ask you about the spoils of war. And also, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, وَمَرِضْتُ فَأَرْسَلْتُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتاني فقلت دعني أقسم مالي حيث شئت. قال فأبى. قلت قال فأبى. قلت صنفت. قال فأبى. فقلت فالثلث. قلت فالنصف. قال فأبى. قلت فالثلث. قال فسكت. فكان بعد الثلث جائزا. This narration, the rest of the narration that is, he said, I once fell ill, that is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I sent a message to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he visited me, and I said to him, permit me to distribute in charity my property as much as I like. And there's another narration that says, this was his daughter. He said, I only have a daughter. He had one child, as it says, to leave this wealth with. He says, permit me to distribute my property as much as I like, and he did not agree. He disagreed, or he refused. I said, permit me to distribute half of it, because he wanted to give all of it. Then he asked for a half. On each occasion, the Prophet said, no, meaning he prohibited him from doing it. Then he said, permit me to distribute a third, whereupon he kept quiet. And it was after this that the distribution of one's property in charity, meaning because of this story with Sa'd, the distribution of one's property in charity to the extent of one-third became the ruling, became that which was valid, became that which was valid. And finally, a story also from the rest of this hadith that says, I came to a group of persons of the Ansar and the Muhajireen, and they said, come, so that we may serve you wine. And it was before the use of wine had become prohibited. So I went to them in a garden, and there had been with them the roasted head of a camel. And I don't think there are too many of us that would like to eat from the roasted head of a camel, even though I've told you on many occasions in the past that camel meat is very, very delicious. It's very, very delicious. Nonetheless, it says that they had a roasted head of a camel and a small water skin containing wine. I ate, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, I ate and drank along with them. And there came under discussion the Ansar and the Muhajireen, the discussion that I said, the immigrants are better than the Ansar, because he was a little tipsy. This is the reason. He was a little tipsy, as we say. He got a, you know, slight buzz. He said so. He started saying, the immigrants are better than the Ansar. So that person picked up a portion of the head of the camel, and he crossed them, as we say in America, and informed him of the situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses pertaining to Khamr. He revealed the verses pertaining to Khamr. The verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, intoxicants of all kinds and gambling and ansab and azlam are an abomination of shaitan's handiwork. So avoid strictly all that abomination in order that you may be successful. And there's another narration collected by Imam Muslim and others that says that he struck him on his nose. That he struck him on his nose. There's also the narration that says Imam Muslim said, Imam al-Bukhari rather, قال حدثنا محمد بن مثنى قال ومحمد بن بشار قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن سماك بن حرب عن مصعب بن سعد عن أبيه أنه قال أنزلت في أربع آيات وساق الحديث بمعنى حديث زهير عن سماك وزاد في حديث شعبة قال فكانوا إذا أرادوا أن يطعموها شجروا فها فها بعثا ثم أرجروها ثم أرجروها. وفي حديثه أيضا فضرب به أنف سعد ففزر فذرها فذره وكان انفصات مفزورا. And this is the narration that we mentioned earlier, the connection to the narration of a man Muslim, with the addition that on the nose of Sa'd was cracked, that it was cracked open. Also, there's a narration that Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time they were fighting the mushrikeen, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Irmi fadaka abi wa ummi, shoot, meaning shoot, O Sa'd, and may my father and my mother be ransomed for you. So Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, فَنَزَعْتُ لَهُ بِسَهْمٍ لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَصٌ فَأَصَبْتُ جَنْبَهُ فَسَقَطَ فَانْكَشَفَتْ عَوْرَتَهُ. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shoot. So Sa'd said, I shot, or I released an arrow that didn't have the muscle, that didn't have the muscle on it. It didn't have the point, the tip on it. And I hit him on his forehead. The Prophet ﷺ told me to shoot, so I released the arrow, because he was an expert marksman, just in a battle. It was one that didn't have the point at the end of the arrow, just the arrow itself, the wooden part. And he said, when I shot him, I hit him in his forehead. He said, فَنْكَشَفَتْ عَوْرَتُهُ, and his arrow became exposed. His private parts became exposed. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى نَظَرْتُ إِلَى نَوَاجِدِهِ. He says, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughed until I could see his molar teeth. And by the way, this person died. Imam al-Nawawi, so that we can be correct on understanding why the Prophet laughed. Because some of us may think that he laughed because of his aura being exposed. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he says, the statement, فَضَحِكَ, so he laughed, فَرْحًا بِقَتْلِهِ عَدُوَّهُ لَا لِنْكِشَافِهِ. He said that he laughed out of happiness for the enemy being killed, not because of his aura being exposed. Not because of his aura being exposed. Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also says about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It says that Muhammad ibn Walid al-Busri, and we're going to end it here inshallah, because there's much that could be said, but once again, this is a glimpse of their lives. قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد عن إسماعيل عن قيس أخبرني سعد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم استجب لسعد إذا دعاك. I think this is appropriate to end it here, like this. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith, Isnad is Sahih, collected and extracted by Imam al-Tirmidhi and others, Imam al-Hakim, Imam al-Zahabi, صححه, and also al-Haythami in his Majma' and others, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua for Sa'd. Listen to the dua. Allahumma istajib li Sa'din. O Allah, answer Sa'd. Meaning answer the dua of Sa'd. Meaning answer every single dua of Sa'd. Whenever he makes dua. Make every dua that Sa'd makes answer. If you go back, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, and check the du'as of Sa'd. In fact, don't even check the du'a of Sa'd. Check how the people used to deal with Sa'd, including Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were afraid. All of them. They were afraid of the du'a. They were afraid of Sa'd opening his mouth and making du'a. Even Umar himself, one time when Sa'd was in Kufa, he was sent there by Umar ibn Khattab during his khilafah, his caliphate. some people started lying on Sa'd. They started sending letters to Umar ibn Khattab that Sa'd is unfair and Sa'd is unjust and Sa'd doesn't deal with us rightfully and he doesn't deal with the money properly. In fact, one of them, his name was Abu Sa'da. Abu Sa'da, when they got there, he sent for Sa'd, and when Sa'd came, Abu Sa'da testified in a shahad to Zuhur, false testimony against Sa'd. To Umar ibn Khattab, who was of course the Khalifa, that he's not treating us fairly, and that he misappropriates the money, and he does this, and he does that. Sa'd says, O Allah, take away his sight. Make his life long. And make him have a trial after a trial after a trial after a trial. Later on, people saw Abu Sa'd in a seriously wretched condition, couldn't see, was not able to see. They asked him what happened to him. He said it is due to the du'a of Sa'd. Due to the du'a of Sa'd against me. He said because I lied on him. Allahu Akbar. So this is what we want to present about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the 10 people who were promised paradise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my mistake in this reading. I attribute it to myself more than the typographical errors. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. Are there any questions from the people who are on Ilm Online? Inshallah, unmuted, right? If there are any questions, inshallah, we'll take them now on Ilm Online. And if not, inshallah ta'ala, we will go home, inshallah. No. I don't know of any. There may be, but I don't know of any that used to use Sa'd as a means of tawakkul. I don't remember any. But there's another narration that he made du'a for Sa'd, and he said it 3 times. That du'a that we mentioned, he did it 3 times. He didn't say it once. There's another narration that said he said it 3 times. No. In China? No, Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu died in his qasr. He died in his palace at a place called Al-Aqiq. And he was transferred to Al-Madinah and buried in the Aqiq palace, by the way, was outside of Medina. And he was, at his request, before he died as a part of his will, his body was transferred to the Baqi' cemetery in Medina. And the one narration that is authentic says that the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides the people outside, the men, in their homes, they gathered together to praise the Nazar for him in their homes. No. Yes. Yeah, but you have to remember, yes, that's a good point. You have to remember that the Arabs, before the Quran came down, they called on Allah. They just worship other idols, you know, idols to get, you know, zulfan, to get close to Allah. But they used to use the name Allah, and they used to use the name Ar-Rahman, or Rahman. So it's not that they didn't know who Allah was. And this is an important point, that this question that you're bringing, because many of the Muslims think that the pagan Arabs did not worship Allah. They did worship Allah. It's just how they worshiped Allah. And this is what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he brings in his book, Kashf Shubuhat. You know, dispelling and uncovering the doubts. You know, he brings those 4 points. Also on the Qawa'id al-Arba, in his book, Al-Qawa'id al-Arba, the 4 fundamental principles, he brings those points of how the pagans used to worship Allah. They never, never ever. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, Allah says, who created the heavens and earth? And the other ayah, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ. If you were to ask them, who created them? لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. They would surely say it was Allah.
But they just used those idols to get close to Allah. They never ever believed that Hubal or Uzza or Manat or Lat. They never ever ever, unlike Muslims today, who worship saints worse than the pagans of the planet. Worse than the pagans of the Quraysh. The Quraysh and those pagan tribes never ever 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 thought that Hubal or Lat or Uzza created the heavens and earth. Never did they think that they created the camels or the dates or the trees that the dates grew on. They never believed that they created the sun. But you have Muslims today who will pray directly to the people in the grave. Pray to them. Not through them. They pray to them. And this is why they say that some of them are those Muslims are worse in their understanding of Tawheed and they're farther in their shirk than the people of the past, because even the people of the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book that when they were in a state of security and safety, they used to call on Allah. Excuse me, when they were on a boat and the waves got heavy, they would call on Allah. They would not call on Uzza. They would not call on Lat. They would not call on Manat. They would not call on Hubal. But when they got back to state of safety on the shore, they would start calling on those other things to get close to Allah. That unlike the Muslims of today, if they're in a state of insecurity, or they're in a state where the waves, the literal waves, or the figurative waves get high and get tumultuous, they call on other than Allah. As we witness, and there's many places, I'm not just singling out Egypt, but there are many places all over the world. On TV, one of them stood up on TV and said, this night, inna fi hadhihi layla, نلتحدث نلتحدث مولد السيد البدوي المهاب الذي اندعي في البر والبحر أجاب. We celebrate the birthday of Sayyid al-Bedawi tonight. This night, the revered, the one who, if he is made dua to, called on land and sea, he answers. This is Muslims who do this. Allahu Akbar. Sa'ad died of old age, to the best of my knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, he died of old age. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because there are some narrations that says that he died as a result of some wound. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No. All of the Sahaba have promised paradise. All of the Sahaba. All of the believers have promised paradise. All of them. All of the believers of promised paradise. All of them. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that narration is authentic. It's mentioned also in the book Sirah Alam al-Nubala. No, whatever side made dua for, it was answered. And that's why people were afraid. In fact, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of Sa'd's slave girls, did something wrong. And Umar, what happened was she bought a new dress. And what happened was she came out, she was not covered properly. Something happened where her part of it was exposed. So Umar ibn al-Khattab went to go give her the punishment. And Sa'd stopped him, blocked the stick, and began to say something. And Umar ibn Khattab changed, and then Sa'd asked for forgiveness for Umar instead of making dua. Now he made dua for him. Now, so he stopped from hitting the girl. So, is that it? No, repeat.
Yeah, pa, ghatifun. Naam. He's getting ready for his wife. Naam.
When he had the situation with his mother, and she swore not to eat or drink or to speak to him, he told her something. With the shaykh writes it in his book,
No. No, this is in Sahih Muslim. I was reading this narration from Sahih Muslim, and it doesn't mention it here. Is that it? This is the last one, right? No.
Now,
Jazakum Allahu Khair and Barakallahu Fikum. MashaAllah, Ahsan. Hello, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ahsan Allahu ilayk.